Thank you. Thank you very much.
Next item is conditional use number 1807, the application of Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for public utilities, including water and wastewater, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying in being Little Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 13.228 acres, more or less, lying northwest of Road 462, Trussell Pond Road, approximately 1.8 miles southeast of Road 461, Old Stage Road. This application was also reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission on August 14th, 2008. For the benefit of council, I'm going to pass down, and you may have to share. I don't know if I think I have enough.
You know we don't share well.
Exhibit booklets, spiral bound, about an inch and a half thick, titled Trussell Regional Water and Wastewater Treatment System. On the 14th of August, the Planning and Zoning Commission received the same booklet, and it is a part of the record and has been a part of the record. The applicants also provided three other exhibit booklets about the same size, one copy for the record. One references preliminary hydrogeological evaluation for subsurface wastewater discharge, a detailed soil investigation report for community wastewater disposal, and a preliminary groundwater impact assessment. We also heard comments from the Sussex Conservation District, the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. Based on the comments from the Utility Planning Division in reference to the water facility, the Engineering Department had no objection to the application. Based on the wastewater facility, the Engineering Department, in summary, sites located in Western Sussex Planning Area, conformity to the Western Sussex Planning Area study will be required. The proposed wastewater facility is located in the study area, but is not in an area where the county expects to provide sewer service at this time. The department recommends that the wastewater system meet all TMDL, which is total maximum daily load limits, for the Nanticoke River watershed. That the county requires design and construction and the collection of transmission system to meet county source standards and specifications. That a review of the treatment and disposal system by the department is also required and plan review fees may apply. That disposal fields should be clearly identified on recorded plots. That the applicants provided the department with a copy of its suggested proposed conditions. And with said conditions in place, the department has no objection to this application, and that a concept plans are not required at this time. We found that Bruce Patrick, Vice President of Tidewater Environmental Services and Tidewater Utilities Incorporated, was present with Dennis Schrader, attorney, Zachary Crouch, and Rig Lardner of Davis, Bowen and Friedel, Frank Key of Frank Key Communities, LLC, and Bruce Jones of Greenstone Engineering were all present and participated in testimony. Michael Cotton of ECI, Environmental Consultants International, was present on behalf of the owners of Briarwood Manor Manufactured Home Park, or Manufactured Home Community, and Sandy Ridge Residential Plan Community, and stated that the owners are in support of this application. We had 10 parties present that spoke in opposition to the application, expressing concerns about monitoring wells, abandonment of monitoring wells, the loss of the right to have septic system and private well, sludge application of solid waste, septic pumping, impacts on wetlands, the view of an elevated water tower, depreciation of property values, concerns that additional development will be approved since central water and sewer will be available, that the residents within Briarwood Manor are concerned about costs since 53% of the residents are senior citizens, that the leases for Briarwood Manor states that water and sewer will be provided by the owners, that Briarwood Manor does not need central water due to contaminants in the existing system, does need central water due to contaminants in the existing system. The septic systems are failing in Briarwood Manor, and they question the fee for hooking up to the system, questioning the impact on the stream behind the site, question the definition of a franchise, questioned if other sites were considered, expressing concern about the loss of the country atmosphere, the impact on wildlife in the area, and questioned if plans have been submitted to the Office of Drinking Water. Mr. Patrick, on behalf of the applicant, responded to the majority of those questions, and at the conclusion of the public hearing, the commission deferred action for further consideration. I've received no additional comments or from individuals or agencies since the 14th of August. That's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
I got a question.
Sir.
Kind of determine, I just want part of the record. There was a subdivision that came before us some time ago, and Eddie Dukes was part of it. He is no part of this application at this point.
I mean, I have no knowledge.
I mean, it's...
Preference.
Mr. Dukes, this is the application of Tidewater Utilities.
Right.
Unless Mr. Dukes is a stockholder of Tidewater Utilities, he has no connection to this application.
Right. I just want to make that part of the record. I knew the applicant was the Truitts, and I didn't want to...
Yeah, the landowner is Carolyn A. and Robert J. Truitt.
Right. Eddie Dukes has nothing to do with it.
I have no reference to Eddie Dukes' name whatsoever.
Okay. I mean, I did not participate in the last public hearing when it came before the council and it was turned down, but... He's not in this, so I don't have a problem with it. Go ahead.
Mr. President, can I ask a question here?
Wait a minute. We have a method of our madness, for some lack of better words. Okay.
Yeah, we'll give you a chance, but we need to let the applicant finish their presentation.
May I begin, Mr. Griffin?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Gentlemen, Gene Byard on behalf of Tidewater. I'm pinch hitting for Dennis Schrader. It is 10 p.m., and in the interest of time, what I'm going to do is introduce Bruce Patrick. I'm going to turn him loose, and if you could, please hold your questions until Bruce's testimony is complete. I think that will save considerable time. Bruce?
Thanks, Gene. Good evening, Councilman. First, I'm Bruce Patrick, Vice President of Engineering with Tidewater Utilities and Tidewater Environmental Services, and I'd first like to just say thank you for the opportunity to present our proposal to you this evening. With me as part of our team, I'd like to introduce three individuals. Zach Crouch, he's a professional engineer with Davis Bowen and Friedel. Dan String, a professional engineer with Greenstone Engineering, and Frank Key with Frank Key Communities are all on our team. I'm a registered professional engineer with 17 years experience in the design of water and wastewater infrastructure, design, permitting, essentially utility management. Just a brief background on Tidewater and Tidewater Environmental. Tidewater is a regulated water utility operating under the realm of DENREC, the Office of Drinking Water, and the Public Service Commission. Tidewater Environmental is a regulated wastewater utility operating under the realm of the Public Service and Commission and DENREC. Essentially, we build, design, own, and operate water and wastewater infrastructure as a utility provider. The Public Service Commission oversees us in three areas: for tariff, essentially the rates that we charge, for franchise, the areas that we're allowed to operate in, and for the service that we provide. DENREC oversees us for the construction and operation permits for wastewater systems, as well as well permits and allocation permits for water supply. The Office of Drinking Water oversees us for the construction and operation of water systems, and the county oversees us for the review of the construction plans for wastewater systems. With that, I'll give a brief overview of our proposal. I'll start with essentially the purpose of the proposal. The purpose is to design, build, own, operate a regional water supply and storage facility, as well as a wastewater treatment and disposal facility that would actually do several things. First, it would allow us to serve the areas that are franchised to Tidewater, the areas that we're obligated to serve. Second, it gives us the opportunity, and I kind of mentioned that word opportunity pretty strongly, to help eliminate or provide service to existing septics in the area. There are 1,233 existing septics in the general area, as well as some community systems in the area, such as Briarwood and Sandy Ridge. And I mentioned the word opportunity because we're one alternative. Currently, these systems that I'm referring to are not in our franchise area. So unless we're actually approached and they're put in our area, we, you know, we cannot serve them at this point, but we're a tool that would be able to serve them if they so wish. I'd like to refer to Exhibit C first as we talk about the area that we're servicing. Essentially, the blue area is what I would define as our service area, and I'd like to point out that this is outside of any county sewer planning area or sewer district. The areas within the blue area that are highlighted in pink are areas that are franchised to Tidewater, areas that we're obligated to serve. The area in yellow, actually, is the area where the proposed facility exists. And again, as I get into this a little bit later, we have to have CPCNs to serve in this area, and I'll talk about those CPCNs and how this is out of a county planning area. The general location, actually, as you look at this, essentially the yellow parcel is the parcel that we're referring to.
Okay, that's better.
Just to give you your bearings, it's located on the north side of Trussum Pond Road. To the south is Gordy Road. To the north is Laurel Road, essentially Route 24, and certainly Route 13 to the west. The properties for the facilities consist of 13.23 acres. They're located 2 miles east of the intersection of Trussum Pond Road and Route 13. What I'd like to do is go through the various types of treatment and disposal, and then I'll go back to the specific locations within the site that these components are located. And I'll try to do this briefly. This is real similar to one of our previous applications that we referred to as Wandendale, so I'll do a quick overview. Essentially, the type of treatment that's proposed, it's very high-end treatment, state-of-the-art technology. It's a biological process called sequencing batch reactor. The project is located in the Nanticoke watershed, which is certainly it's subject to a TMDL. The analysis for this TMDL was completed in 2000. However, the pollution control strategy that would implement the regulations for this has not yet been implemented. So while there's no specific PCS for this area, the PCS for the inland bays has been established, which is the state's most stringent PCS, pollution control strategy, and it requires systems of this nature to meet essentially performance standard one for both nitrogen and phosphorus, and the facilities that we're designing and proposing would have the capability of exceeding the requirements of PCS one, so they would be in conformance with all TMDLs. Essentially, the nutrient removal would be provided. Total nitrogen would meet 10 milligrams per liter. This parameter actually exceeds the drinking water standard. BOD and TSS is proposed at 10 milligrams per liter. For comparison, this actually exceeds a lot of the discharge quality of many surface water discharge facilities throughout the state. So we're talking about an extremely high-end and clean effluent. The kind of a summary of the plant, we're proposing essentially a mechanical influence screen, dual SBR treatment basins, post-flow equalization, followed by ultraviolet disinfection. And again, it's very high quality. That would actually exceed a lot of the surface water facilities in the state. What I'd like to do is refer to Exhibit A, which is on the north side of Trussum Pond Road, to kind of hone in on some of the locations. As you can see, the location of the treatment facility, this one, Frank. The location of the treatment facility itself is actually surrounded on the north, the west, and the east by woods and trees. There are poultry houses essentially to the south and to the southeast. I'd like to refer to Exhibit B, View 4, which is, there are several of them inset.
Actually looking in from the road, Trussum Pond Road, and you can see essentially the treatment facility proposed a red building in the background.
It's proposed to be designed in an agricultural style building so it would fit in with the surrounding area. Essentially, it would be aesthetically pleasing and really difficult to tell that it's a treatment facility. Next, I'd like to go over the types of disposal that were proposed, and then again, I'll hone in on the locations for those types of disposal. We're talking about a land-based disposal, rapid infiltration basins. As you're familiar, rapid infiltration basins are shallow basins, typically 18 inches deep, that accept the treated water. There would be five primary basins that total 2.07 acres, as well as five spare basins for another 2.07 acres. And one basin would receive a dose for a two-day period. Then there would be an eight-day rest, actually, as they cycle through the other basins before you get back to the first basin. So typically, a basin is dry within an hour or two, and the reason it's dry, to get a basin sited on your property, you have to have a good depth to your groundwater quality, and you have to have very permeable soils. And we'll get into some of the soils and hydrogeology a little bit later that illustrates that this site, that this particular site meets those requirements.
Well, you know, let me just cut in. It is getting late. We're not technical people, and I don't know if, I mean, we're not going to prove all this part of the project.
Sure.
What our concern is more than anything is it an appropriate land use in this area?
Got it.
For that type of use. So maybe either briefly go over this stuff, because it is just,
I'll hit it real light.
We don't care about the soils. We don't care about it. We care about this kind of facility in that neighborhood more than anything else.
Thank
you. Okay. Unless I'm speaking for the rest of you, but I know you're finding it interesting, but
I will do my best.
I'm worried about Vance. He's just a farmer.
I don't know. You were worried about the soils in the last application.
No, I read it in the plus report. But I think this is
5 to 7 minutes, and I'll try to buzz right through it if that's okay.
Please,
whatever is easiest for you.
The referring to Exhibit A again, the basins, and you've seen them. They're actually pretty much surrounded by woods on pretty much all the sides, and they will be fenced. The point I'd like to make here is they're actually out of sight, so to speak. I'd like to hone in on the soils work and the hydrogeological work that's been completed on this site. There's been a lot of extensive soils work done, essentially a feasibility study that consisted of 20 test pits, 28 soil borings, 8 double ring infiltrometer tests. All this was done as part of a 150-foot grid that actually demonstrated that the site's capable of wastewater disposal. In more detail, we had a DSIR performed, which is essentially 77 borings, 40 test pits, 15 double ring infiltrometers, as part of a 75-foot grid, which really honed in on the rapid infiltration basin area. In summary, actually, the soils are very favorable. The depth of groundwater on this site in the rib area is 8 to 10 foot. The DENREC regs require a 2-foot separation, so as you can see, this far exceeds the DENREC requirement. We have permeability rates of 7 minutes per inch, which is extremely fast, and that's certainly one of the criteria for a rib, so it's a good site. The extensive hydrogeological work that's been completed to date, we've had a preliminary groundwater impact assessment done, which consisted of continuous wet season monitoring, essentially from December through May, which is the wettest time of the year. 8 wells were installed, and they were read to determine the depth of groundwater. In addition, we have several deep borings, 7 40-foot borings, a 123-foot boring, as well as an 80-foot deep test well. And we actually looked at all the various stratas, determined the permeabilities, and essentially determined the transmissivity. And that's really how quickly things move through the soil. And all this was actually used to be input into a hydrogeological model that demonstrated the capacity and the capability of the site. At a loading rate of 400,000 gallons per day, which translates to approximately 1,333 units at 300 gallons per day, the model demonstrated that we have a 6-foot separation from the bottom of the rib to the groundwater table mound. So that's a safety factor of 3 per the DENREC regs. DENREC regs require a 2-foot difference. This, in addition, the high treatment, in addition to this 6-foot separation of unsaturated soil, provides a very high-quality discharge. As such, DENREC issued a letter dated November 7th, essentially stating that the site's approvable for this kind of use, appears suitable for ribs. So based on the work, the treatment and disposal system that we're proposing essentially will provide a high level of treatment. Nitrogen will exceed drinking water standards. The discharge, again, will be much better than a lot of the surface water discharges in the state. I'd like to touch just real briefly on the construction of the facility. Certainly, we will not construct a 400,000 gallon per day facility all at once. We would propose that it be built in phases. The treatment systems would be built in parallel so that you could place one treatment train in service prior to the other. Essentially, what this will allow us to do is get the system placed into operation early, and we'll minimize any pumping and hauling that's needed so we can get the system started up. The effluent from the system will certainly be monitored very closely per the permit. There will be monitor wells installed around the disposal area that essentially will ensure the groundwater is protected. Any of the monitor wells that have been installed in this process that are no longer needed will be abandoned in accordance with then regulations by a licensed well driller. All the biosolids that would be generated from the facility would actually be taken off-site to either a landfill or to a DENREC permitted site, so they'd be taken elsewhere. And no septage would be accepted at this facility, so no septic tank pumpings would be coming into this facility. With that, I'd like to go into the water system. We're proposing to install two supply wells on the same site just to the west of the treatment facility. We actually have adequate land to accommodate the two wells. Based on what we encountered during the research, essentially, for our preliminary groundwater impact assessment with the drillings of the various observation wells, we've determined that the characteristics of those wells are such that there's good, abundant groundwater in the area. We've also looked at other wells that Tidewater has in the area, as well as irrigation wells, and that's also provided us good, useful data that the aquifer has plenty of water, essentially, to provide the supply. One of our wells, actually, that we looked at screened from 310 to 360, 310 feet to 360 feet, with a specific capacity of 1.83 gallons per minute. So this well is able to produce about 500 gallons per minute. When you look at how the aquifer transcends to this area, it's the same aquifer, so we would expect the same similar capacity from well. Looking at the available water in the area and the area that we have to serve, with the groundwater having the characteristics that it does, there would be no adverse impact or any drawdown on any of the neighboring wells or any of the adjacent wells. Going into the water storage facility, the water storage facility essentially would be needed for peak hour demand and for fire protection purposes. Based on the size of the service territory, we would be proposing a 400,000-gallon elevated water storage tank. Why elevated? There's several reasons why it would be elevated, but first, if we could look at Exhibit B, View 4, you can see the renderings, essentially, of the elevated water storage tank, and it's proposed to be a sky-neutral color. Why elevated? Essentially, several reasons as to why we're proposing it to be elevated. It essentially improves the overall reliability of the system. It helps provide consistent pressure and fire flows to meet peak hour demands and to ensure water supply during power outages. And the Office of Drinking Water supports elevated water storage tanks, and they, in fact, went on record by sending the county a memo dated June 8th of 2000 for the reasons that I just stated above. So referring to Exhibit A, we would be able to see the location of the water facilities. Exhibit A. Exhibit A, okay, essentially the Exhibit A, as you can see, the well field and the water supply facility would be just to the west, and this is actually very central to our planning area, which is good for pressure reasons with the elevated water storage tank as well. So, in summary, we're proposing to design, build, own, operate a state-of-the-art wastewater treatment and disposal facility and a water supply and storage facility. It would reduce nutrients, recharge groundwater. There would be no adverse effects on the wells, on wetlands, on any of the adjacent water bodies. It would provide us the opportunity and the ability to serve the areas that we're franchised, that we're obligated to serve. And again, it gives us the opportunity or a tool that we would be able to offer service to others if they so choose, such as the 1,233 existing septics or Briarwood or Sandy Ridge, any of the existing developments. But again, it's if they choose. Currently, they're not in our franchise area. We do understand that they're experiencing some difficulties with both their water and wastewater. So if they deem fit, that is something that we would be able to offer to them.
So who are your customers now, right now? I mean, you're building this for who?
We actually, if we could put Exhibit C back.
Yeah, let me see again. I want to see who you're building it for.
I'm sure the state will, and everybody will look over and make sure you do it right, but let's just see who you're building it for. All that light blue area?
The light blue area, Councilman Cole, is actually what I would define as our planning area.
All
we certainly, and planning from a technical perspective, what we could possibly serve, We have to have the franchise area to actually serve it. The areas in pink are areas where we actually have franchise areas or existing systems or customers that will potentially be served at this site. Technically, if other folks request a service, we can make it an alternative, you know, to help them. Certainly, they would have to look at a lot of variables compared to what they may be able to do on site, the cost, the whole nine yards.
All right. I'm just...
Okay. And essentially, what I'd like to point out, I mean, it is outside of any county planning area, and the county engineer went on the record providing a letter of no objection with five conditions. And for the record, I'll just touch on the five conditions. I won't read them word for word. I'll sort of paraphrase them, but the five conditions are that all the improvements for collection, treatment, and disposal would be in accordance with the Sussex County Engineering Department and DENREC or any other governmental agency. The applicant would submit a regional plan to the Sussex County Engineering Department. Number two, the facility shall not receive sanitary waste for treatment and disposal from a parcel within a Sussex County sewer planning area. That's number three. And that the water system essentially would be designed in accordance with the Department of Health's regulations. And number five, that the site plan would be subject to review and approval by the County Planning and Zoning Commission. So we received that letter of no objection with those conditions, which we accept. With that, that concludes the overview of the proposal. Hopefully, I didn't zoom through it too quick.
No, you didn't do it too quick. Very interesting.
I know, Mr. Cole, you have lots of technical questions. Now's your chance.
I'll put them in writing to you, Gene.
Good, thanks.
I do have a question, though, Gene. This is out. He said it was outside our planning area, right?
What is that?
So the county has deemed certain areas to be the development districts, and this is outside. So why would we want to support and approve something like this to encourage now development outside our development districts? Isn't that encouraging sprawl, as they say in the
You'll have planning? To define sprawl for me, Mr. Cole. That's a moving target. The area in pink here is an area that Tidewater is obliged to serve. It has a certificate of public need and convenience. These are people who are requiring Tidewater to serve. Whether or not there is a development district or not, Tidewater has the obligation to provide wastewater and water service to these parcels.
Right, but they can put wells on each of these sites and service them from each site, correct?
If that's cost effective. The idea is to create a central system so that costs can be driven down.
Well, it sounds like you're trying to build a system that will want additional customers, so it'll be encouraging this rural area, which is mostly farmland and chicken houses and whatever. By putting this regional facility, they're going to want more customers. It's going to encourage more development, don't you think?
It depends on the system as constructed. As Mr. Patrick has described it, it is intended to accommodate what Tidewater is obliged to serve. There may be some additional capacity to accommodate nearby developments that are not part of the certificate of public need and convenience.
And you're going to run lines alongside the road from this site to all these other sites? Is that how they do it?
For the folks that request service that are in our area, we would certainly do that. As a regulated utility, we are allowed and permitted to run force mains collection lines along the state DLDOT right-of-way.
Questions,
Jim? Any other questions, Jim?
Well, one thing I'd like to point out is that if you look at your 2002 and 2007 land use plans, central water and wastewater infrastructure is something that's highly regarded. This system will serve several purposes that are consistent with the plan, not the least of which is to preserve a spray irrigation area of 483 acres. Is that correct, Bruce?
The actual site is 13.23 acres.
But the spray of the treated wastewater is on a 483-acre property. Is that correct?
That's ribs, actually, on 13.23 okay. acres on this particular.
Okay. Sorry. But what it will accomplish is it will get septic waste treated in a location rather than having it run free in the ground. It will protect the Nanticoke River and Broad Creek watersheds. To the extent that central sewer and water infrastructure is available, it's something council ought to endorse.
Well, the pink area, is any of that built?
I can't answer that, Mr.
Well, I'm asking maybe the gentleman next to him. The big, the large pink area up there to the right, is there a big subdivision up there?
There today, the large pink area to the right, there's not. There.
Show me where there's some development in that pink.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to find out, because I didn't recall seeing a big development out there.
Development in this area.
That's the only, okay, that's one. It's the only one.
Is that, which one is that? Is that Briarwood?
Country Grove in this location, certainly Briarwood.
Oh, Briarwood's a purple?
Exists, and we can offer an alternative to provide solutions to their issues.
I understand, Mr. Diggs, Briarwood is not part of the certificate of public need and convenience that the that Tidewater holds. Tidewater's.
Sorry, you're going to speak up a little bit.
Briarwood is not part of the certificate of public need and convenience that Tidewater holds. Briarwood is outside Tidewater's franchise area. If Briarwood approaches Tidewater about service, that's something that Tidewater would be happy to discuss. But right now, Tidewater is only trying to serve the people it's obliged to serve. As to the state of development, Mr. Cole, I can't answer you.
So he just pointed out there's only one subdivision, so they're only obligated to service one subdivision because there's nobody in any of these other areas right now. They're not even mm-hmm. developed. And with the economy the way it is, they may not be developed at all. So, Mike, I just can't believe it would be cost-effective to run a line from that little yellow dot all the way down to 13, down there in that lower left-hand corner.
This will be built in phases, as Bruce has described.
Built what?
In phases.
Well, I mean, if they need sewer and water, I don't know how many phases you're talking about. They either got to run it to them or they don't run it to them.
Well, if you want Bruce to address that.
Is that right?
That's a technical question.
I mean, it would certainly be built in phases, and to get it from A to B, we would put in the lines. Certainly the first phase and when we would break ground on that phase would depend on, you know, the folks that show interest in that first phase.
You'd have to have a customer, so, right? You can't just build this without a customer.
And so, you would have to have a customer base such that it, you know, it proposes an economy of scale to do that particular phase.
But an individual living along one of these little county roads has a problem with their septic system. It'd be cost prohibitive for them to hook up to you. You're not going to eliminate any of the existing septic systems, because all these other proposed areas don't exist.
We would do very similar to the county. When the county is approached by folks on individual septic systems at one service, we have to look at that area and find out, are there enough folks in that area? Certainly there's 1,233 in the area.
In that, but all
then
that
you,
blue.
Then you have to look at how many of them in a condensed area want the service, and we would do just what the county would do, analyze that, put together a cost or a financial model, and make the proposal for those specific septics in question.
But this is voluntarily. It's not mandatory they have to hook up, is it?
That is correct, sir, yes.
So, I mean, I would imagine you've had some contact with Briarwood and Sandy Ridge. Have they either one expressed? I know there's need. I don't know if they've expressed interest or not.
They have expressed an interest. I mean, certainly it's contingent on, number one, getting approval, and then number two, looking at the economies of scale as to who would be tying in, and then they'll, I assume they would look at what they could do to solve their problems on site, and they would choose the most economical route. Naturally, we think a central regional system would create the economy of scale.
It appears that those pink areas nearest to the yellow want to get developed, and they need a place to do this, and they figure they'd just get one central location as opposed to each site having their own on-site system, because it eats up land.
Well, that's
so,
not
anyway.
I understand. I know where you're going, but that's not part of the application. I do know that by living close to that area, that Briarwood has had problems with sewer for many, many years.
In fact, I breezed through perhaps too quickly at the urging, but we've actually received a letter from DENREC dated July of 07, essentially saying, hey, this would be a good solution if it could be worked out.
Are those pink areas already approved subdivision? Because Lawrence said he didn't think they all were. What is it? Are those just conceptual? Or, I mean, they're just...
I do not...
Does anybody know?
These are people who've asked for service. They have signed...
Pink areas.
They've signed petitions asking for service from Tidewater. That's how CPC...
Some of the sites are applications pending, not yet heard.
But they're undeveloped at this point.
Understand, Mr. Dixon, you've hit on an important point. Briarwood has no obligation.
Right, I understand
no
that.
No obligation whatsoever to deal with Tidewater. And vice versa, Tidewater has no obligation to deal with Briarwood. On the other hand, if an accommodation can be reached, I think everybody wins.
Well, it sort of looked like you're making a big investment. And where are you going with it? I mean, you know, looks like that you're building for the future, which, you know, I understand that. And I would rather see it on Central Soils than I would individual. But I do know there's some needs in the area because of the soil. You know, so that's
But Dale, it doesn't appear to me that this facility is going to help all the individuals that are in that blue area that need, you know, they have some poor soils on their land, and they're not going to be helped. All this is going to be is for new subdivisions, and the only new subdivision that's approved in there is maybe the one way down the left-hand corner. The rest of them are just conceptual at this point. So it's interesting application.
Other questions, gentlemen?
Okay.
If not, thank you.
Yep. Jim?
Is there anyone here who hasn't been recognized who would like a chance to speak either in support of or in opposition to this application?
Go ahead, your turn.
You had your hand up, sir.
Here comes a guy in the back. Wait, you're too slow. Get back. Why don't you sit down?
Why don't
you
get up? Come on, Mr.
Shamar. I don't like that. Thank you. I don't go as fast as I used to.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm Michael Lowe, 12818 Trussell Pond Road. I live directly across from this proposed site. I've been here 3 or 4 times for different things similar in nature, and I've just jotted a few things down to make it easier and quicker for you guys. This will take away the ability to install new wells or septic systems possibly in the future. They may turn down permits if I've got 2 septics and 2 wells on my big property. Doesn't seem economical, as you were saying, to build this wastewater treatment plant 2 miles away from Briarwood Trailer Park or Sandy Ridge Mobile Home when there are properties across the road from Sandy Ridge for sale that also contain sandy soil. The approval of this plant would make it a lot easier to later on down the road pass housing developments behind me that was previously turned down. I have major concerns for the smell and odor that may occur from this plant. They say it will not smell, but I still have concerns. I've been, I went over that one. They also stated something about hauling away some waste from this, and I have concerns for truck traffic hauling waste away. In conclusion, pretty much, they want to build this facility with no customer need at this time, no major customer need. And he also stated that they would possibly have people that would be interested in it. Well, I know for a fact that over a year ago, they've sent out more than one letter to homeowners in this area. They should already know who's interested in this. Thank you very much for your time, gentlemen.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a good evening.
You, sir, would you like to be next?
My name is Leonard Sears. I reside in Briarwood Manor at 11957. I have several issues. Of course, the last time that I was before the council, I had like 1 day's notice of this project. I've had a lot of time to think about it since. Ed Halleck was here earlier from the Office of Drinking Water. I had an interesting talk with Ed. They still don't have no plans to the Office of Drinking Water for Briarwood Manor. So it leads us to wonder what Tidewater's plan ultimately is for Briarwood Manor. I don't believe there is one, because in my conversation, we're presently in the guidelines with the Office of Drinking Water at Briarwood Manor for water. Yes, we have Denrec issues, which I do believe the owners are presently working with Denrec to resolve those issues with mound systems internally in Briarwood Manor. Now, which leads me to wonder why Tidewater would have such an interest in the two purple areas that you see on the map here, which happen to be Sandy Ridge and Briarwood Manor. Now, after some consideration and some little investigation work, I think I have. Maybe their idea for them. I didn't come here to spat against them. I come here with a plan. My plan is this. They presently have a drinking water violation, which they, from Ed Halleck's word with me tonight, is that they're presently correcting. But before I came to this meeting tonight...
You're saying that. You're talking about Tidewater or Briarwood?
Tidewater.
Tidewater, okay.
That before I came to this meeting tonight, they still are presently running water in ditches to bleed off Total Cola Farm from where they've had to chlorinate the system. Here are three copies. In this, I also find out they have failing septic systems in Sandy Ridge behind us. We have failing septic systems too. Mm-hmm. I believe they need this site, maybe for their own personal gain in Sandy Ridge. Yes, they have a large franchising area, this whole area that they're taking in the service for future use, which may not be a bad idea. But at this time, much of that large franchising area, and with the economic situation we all face today, farming is the greatest thing in that area. So it leads me to wonder why Tidewater wants to do this project now. There's only one development that I know of, which happens to be this parcel of property right here on the map that is presently under some type of property zoning for a community. Just what, I don't know. But they have a lot of stakes out there and they've done a lot of testing. And I too believe that that site hasn't got adequate water on it or sewer. And that is the interest of Tidewater. That is a prime interest of Tidewater, I would think. Now, the other thing that worries me greatly, from time to time we all have storms. And in this area, which is fine-lined right here, happens to come behind the American Legion. It's a natural run of water that goes all the way through the town, all the way to the bay, through the piece of property that they're even proposing as their site. There was no mention of the 100-year flood plan for this project. Yet at one time, this property was used as a burial pit. So, my questions are many questions without answers. Yes, I stand opposed to this project. I really do. As I can see right now, there's no benefit for Briarwood Manor, none whatsoever. I don't know why we're into purple on the area, but I do think I have a good reason on why Sandy Ridge is. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Sears, are you or weren't you at one time the manager of Briarwood?
Yes, I was.
Are you still the manager of Briarwood?
No, I am not.
Okay.
I'm here representing the community.
Okay, but I mean, I remember having conversations with you about the need for sewage out there and the problems you were having out there.
Yeah.
You've called me a few times about
it. Yes, I have.
And you still having those same problems in Briarwood?
Well, the owners have corrected the water problem with the Office of Drinking Water.
Okay.
They have. They've done a remarkable... They were faced with a lot of challenges, and they were hard stepping up to the plate, but they have come a long way.
Good.
And
so you're saying there's no need now for wastewater or drinking water, or both?
From the understanding that I have with Ed Halleck here tonight, no.
So Briarwood's in pretty good shape?
Briarwood right now has septic issues that the owners are looking into correcting, as I understand.
And they have a plan to correct them? Because I can't imagine if they make those corrections on site that then they're going to be interested in bringing in a solution that's off-site. I mean, they're not going to do both, so.
But the minutes state that, do you notice Michael Cotton?
ECI?
ECI says that he was present on behalf of Briarwood. Briarwood Manor and also Sandy Ridge, and said that the homeowner stated that the owners are in support of this application.
No, I'm not really familiar with him that much, other than what he basically said here.
That was stated at the commission meeting.
That was at the commission meeting, right? That was okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to be heard? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My name is Richard Roller. I live at 12791 Trussell Pond Road. My wife and I put our life savings into buying this piece of property, and it'll be right in front of that water tower they're going to have. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to look out your backyard and see this crazy thing. We have no need for this thing down there. I don't know if they investigated like I had said previously, but that man raised hogs up there on that hill. He had a trailer up on that same hill for 10 or 12 years. There's a septic tank up there. It could be still seeping. Mm-hmm. He raised goats back there. He tried to have a garden, and it didn't succeed. But I just can't understand why Tidewater wants to invest their money in, unless they're looking forward to housing and other needs that's not there. I'm perfectly happy with what I have in my wells. I have no water problems. I have no septic problems. And I don't see we have a need for this confounded thing. God didn't put that water in that ground to be used by some other source other than the people that built there and lived there. And it upsets me greatly, because I see a lot of these people on this road that have lived there for 40 years, have never had any problems, because I talk to the people. I'm a people person, and I go around this neighborhood, and I know who's who and what's what. And let me tell you, these people couldn't afford to go on a water line. They just have enough money to feed themselves. And they've been there, like I said, for 40 years, and that was a black concern up the road from us. It said they just couldn't afford to go on anything. And then to have it passed by their house, they said no. No, absolutely no. I'm out there for the people, not just myself, the people. These people don't live there. They want to govern us. I just can't see it. I just wanted to tell you what my heart tells me. We don't have a need, and we don't need them. And I would ask somebody else other than Tidewater, because I understand they don't have a good track record.
Anybody else who wants to be heard tonight?
My name is Wayne Jaggers. I live at 32967 Private Drive. I'm not too awfully far away from this site. The plan I got here from your office doesn't quite show the same yellow plan that they've got on the map. And what I'm concerned about is if this system, the other gentleman here said, depending on the system that they put in, well, I guess the bigger it would grow, the different systems would grow with it. But what I'm concerned about, too, is they're going to have an awful lot of pumps. If these pumps fail, you might have an overflow. That overflow is going to have to go somewheres. At first, I thought maybe it was going to serve a small community. But when I see that big blue area there, this is going to be a pretty big system, I think, to service that many people. I looked over there. I didn't see any indication of Trout Pond, Trussell Pond, Records Pond. I don't know where they are on the map. But if that system overflows, that water's got to go somewheres. I live on Private Drive, which is, I don't know, a couple of tenths of a mile from this site. And I live back in the woods. And I think I'm about the highest property in that area that I know of. There's a drainage ditch that runs across Trussell Pond Road, and that ditch goes right up alongside of my driveway, going back, goes through another property onto my property, and there's wetlands. There's always wetlands there, no matter how dry it gets. I've got wetlands on my property. I own just under 9 acres, and about 3 to 4 of it is wetlands. And from Trussell Pond Road, my driveway goes down, then it goes up again to where I live. And back of my land, maybe about 300 foot back from where I live, is all this wetland. And I've lived there for 22 years. A couple of years or so after we moved there, we were notified that possibly they might redevelop or dig out the canal there so that they could have a canoe area from Beckwith Pond in back of my land. So that water is going to have to go somewheres. And if Records Pond is that close to it, there could be a good amount of wastewater going into the wetlands, possibly into Records Pond, Trout Pond, and Trussell Pond. Now, you hear a lot about cleaning up the Bay Area and keeping the wetlands free. But this system here, I think, is a pretty poor system to go in the area that they want to put it in. It would be a shame to have this area ruined. I've had beavers on my land. I've had raccoons, deer. I've got deer out there all the time, fox. And if this system went in with the noise and everything else, I think it would ruin that. Now, right in the back of my property, Delaware Wildlife or Wildland owns that area. I don't know how much they own, but they do own it. And right alongside of me, my neighbor donated his property to Parks and Recreation. I don't know what Parks and Recreation plans on maybe putting in there. But for that system to go there, I think it would be a very poor choice. Thank you.
Thank you,
sir.
Is there anyone else?
My name is Ron Moore. I live at Trussell Pond Road, 12781 Trussell Pond Road. Wayne just spoke. He lives behind me. I live right along Trussell Pond Road. And the land that was donated to the state of Delaware for wetland and everything else is a creek that runs exactly 95 foot behind my property line. And it goes down to the ditch, crosses under, and you go down a little bit farther down the road where they're proposing to put the water tower and the sewer and everything else down there. There's that little canal, I call it canal, runs from behind American Legion all the way over to Trussell Pond. Matter of fact, you know, on average of 1 to 2 canoers gets lost every year, and they have to call the state police or someone, a fire department, to go over there to rescue them and their canoe. You know, I think everybody lives on Trussell Pond Road has invested a lot of money, time, effort to find a piece of land that they love to live on till the day they die. You know, I and Dick is my next door neighbor. He's my brother-in-law. It's a tight community. It's a place that you want to bring your kids up. It's a place that you want to be outside and to enjoy it. It's a place that you do not want to see a lot of traffic going down your road because people fly down that road. And I'm afraid if it's going to be developed, there's going to be a lot of accidents and people hurt and killed, especially kids, because there is a lot of kids on that road. The land is developing. More and more people's moving in from the city. As everyone knows, every time you turn around, you'll see a high-rise going up, apartment complex. Salisbury's got enough now, and they've got enough to supply everybody 3 times and over, if you can afford them. Like I say, I have turned around and spent a lot of money on my land, on my house, on my property, and everyone else around here has done the same thing. Like I said, if they want to buy my septic tank and my well, give me $25,000, dig me a ditch, and that will go for it. But for me to turn around and give up my stuff that I've turned around and built and everything else to eventually be tied into them, because it will be passed, you would have to tie into them eventually, maybe not now, but years down the road, because it will be law that you would have to tie into them. I have lost everything that I've invested in, not counting the homes. The one development wants to put in 100 and some homes, 200 homes, down the other road there, just down by Briarwood Estates, that a man suggested about. It's 122 acres there. They want to put in 322 homes in there. You know, what is the goal of Tidewater? They see the future. They see investment. They see growth. They see profit. That's what they see. Like I say, guys, it's all up to you. You know all of our feelings about the whole situation. I'm sure if you lived on that road and viewed at that, you would be up here talking just as well as I am. You would not be wanting to have this moved into your neighborhood. And I only live about 1/10 of a mile from where they want to put it.
How large of a lot do you live on?
I live on 1.25 acres.
Okay, so you'd have room to put another septic system if yours failed?
Yes.
Because that's a problem. If you don't have a large enough lot and your system fails, Denrick might not give you another permit for another septic system.
Right.
But you'd have enough, should have enough room for your soils, okay.
Right. There was 8 lots there. When I bought the first lot from Jack Reynolds years ago, built a new home in 1992. And I bought the first lot. That was the lot 6. It was 8 lots. I bought the first lot. That was a lot that it had surveyed off and perked for standard septic system. I bought that lot, and then it went right on down the road. And every lot there is a standard septic system. Every lot in those 8 lots is roughly 1 acre or more in those 8 lots.
It's good. You might need it sometime.
So, right.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, we looked and looked around. I was born and raised in Delmar, managed a fiberglass company up the road for 20 years, always wanted to come back to this area. As you all know, you always want to come back home. And so we looked and looked for a piece of land. We found this. We fell in love with it, and that's why we bought it. And, you know, the understanding I got then, it was all going to be houses, no trailers, no nothing else, be farmland and homes. That's where it was going to be. Somehow it slipped us on the last go around. It got switched over to trailers, but that's something I got to live with. Thank you, guys.
Thanks very much, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone else wish to be heard? Yes, ma'am.
Gentlemen, lady, I'm Arvelene Moore. I live right directly in front of this, what they're proposing to do. I can't go home tonight and rest easy if I don't tell you I'm opposed to it. We enjoy our country. We enjoy our farmland, and we'd like to keep it that way. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Anyone else?
I am Phyllis J. Johnson, 12985 Trussell Pond Road. I've been there 11 years, and I am a widow. And when my husband and I moved there, we just felt like we had died and gone to heaven. It was such a nice lot, an acre, and I had never been notified of this meeting from the one before and this one. Plus, you asked if it was about Eddie Dukes. Well, there has not been long ago that this same proposal came up. Mr. Truitt wanted to have the water and sewer across the road. I'm two doors from where this is going to be. Mm-hmm. And the 320 houses was across the road. And we definitely didn't need 320 houses.
That was turned down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it came right out past where I live, that bad curve on Trussell Pond. And then it was going to come out on Gordy Road, and Gordy Road don't need that kind of thing. But it was in the making then, and it was knocked backwards. So hopefully it'll be knocked back again, because I'm not for it at all. Because if I have trouble with my septic, who says they're going to give me a permit to get it? I might have to hook into it, and I'm only two doors from where this...
Well, what will you do if you can't get a permit, and Denrek won't give you a permit? What are you going to do?
Well, I guess I'll go out behind the barn or get a bucket.
That's illegal. You can't do that no more, Phyllis.
Well, yeah, I can if I'm on my property. And I have a barn back there.
You're good to go. Dig a hole.
Be able to turn that impact fee and everything else.
Oh, you'll be all right then. Yeah.
So I highly encourage.
Anybody else?
Yeah, if I could approach again.
Well, we've heard from you. Let's see if there's anyone else,
okay,
sir. Is there anyone else back here? Any of you ladies that haven't spoken?
Their moral support.
Okay. Right? We'll give you one more shot for about a minute.
Yep.
We've been here a long time tonight. We're all getting brain dead.
I know. On this site here, like I say, it's different from the site that's on the board. According to this site, they have trailers along this road. And they are dividing the property in half.
I don't know what you're referring to, but the county draws that map up. The applicant has nothing to do with this.
Uh-huh. Well, is Tidewater going to buy those trailers in the front so that they have more room?
I don't know.
Or if they drew it up to like it is here, what's going to happen to those two trailers in the front that won't have 5 acres?
That's not part of the application. The only application is what's in the black line there.
Uh-huh. Well, they are dividing that 5 acres from what the people have here now. So how can those two trailers remain there? I think that might be looked into.
Okay.
Thank you.
Something else, are they going to have one or two of those big water tanks?
I think they're proposing one. according to the site plan?
400,000 gallons. If one of those things let go, that area there is going to be worse than Katrina down in Louisiana.
I think you don't have to worry your grass for a couple
I think
days,
I'll have
anyway.
To put the pontoons on my house. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we've recognized everybody here. So,
absolutely. P&Z deferred action also. Is that
yes,
correct,
I have.
Mr. Griffin?
Make a motion. We defer.
Any reason to keep the record open?
I don't think so.
Close the record.
We heard. We beat it enough.
Motion, gentlemen.
Make a motion. We defer on conditional use number 1807, Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated.
We moved it seconded. That was Mr. Duke's second. Conditional use 1807. Not leaving the record open for any information. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Thank you very much. We'll give everybody just a couple seconds to get out of Dodge. Or Lawrence, you can start. Whatever's good for you.
Lawrence can start on
that. Huh?
We got another hour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
we
got another
hour, yeah.
Hour, yeah.
It's okay. What time's that party over?
we could, Jim,
we could put this crap
could you find
on.
Out who is here present that wants to talk about these topics, and maybe we could, I know that, but we could eliminate one of them. I think the bottom one about open space, I don't think they're here for open space. We could discuss that later.
What's that?
Open space. I don't believe anybody's here.
It's just a matter of whether to discuss it and introduce it.
Well, this time of night, I don't think we'll get a fair, good discussion about something after we
say it. Didn't you put the open space in our packet this week?
Yes.
Yeah, that so was, everybody should have read it. I mean,
well, I will say, Mr. Cole's defense,
my mind just was here.
Got returned.
Okay. That's why I got public hearings. Okay.
I quit moving.
Okay, let's keep
I didn't move.
Quit moving.
They didn't know my county address.
Just quit trying to avoid your taxes all the time.
Anyway, I would just say I don't know how critical it is, but if we could just defer on that one, maybe, because I don't believe a soul's here for open space.
Well, that's it.
And we'll defer till next week.
Mr. Lancaster
is, I can tell. He's hanging around for something.
We're going to discuss what we're going to discuss. That's not the first agenda. The first thing is
number one. Never mind. Torture yourself.
You're right.
Torture yourself.
I'm up. Okay.
You already won. You can't talk.
There's a reference A is reference to placement of non-conforming accessory structures. There's been interest by constituents that we give consideration in manufactured home communities that small accessory buildings being non-conforming and existing